5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hey, this is not first class.
Welcome to the Clown Car, a parenting podcast where a mom
and a dad
talk about what it's like being the ringleaders in our own circus.
We're not professionals. The only credentials we have are four kids. So do your research and find what works for you.
Hello, fellow ringleaders. We are your hosts, Crystal and Barry Biggs.
Yeah.
I was going to say Barry and Crystal, but...
But you're talking.
I know.
But you could have said my name first. That's
someday
okay.
We're going to nail this intro.
Oh, well, that's okay. People love our witty and fun banter. all that stuff. So.
Interesting.
We are recording early this week because we are going on an impromptu early family or.
Vacation?
No, not early. An impromptu family vacation.
Unexpected.
This weekend.
And our kids have no idea what it is.
They don't know anything.
We told them we were going somewhere, and their level of expectation is Chuck E. Cheese in the town 2 hours away.
So, it's bigger than that. But we're not going to say it right now because there are ears listening. But we'll report back afterwards.
Okay.
So.
Well, until that time, let's talk about our crazy circus.
It's time for the stories of the week.
Okay. All right. So let's, we're recording earlier, so we don't have a lot to talk about, in the form of
this week.
Well, this week besides being, you know, fun and exciting and, oh, wait, no, stressful and hair tearing out.
Yeah, this week's been a little rough for me.
I apologize. I'm sorry.
I really, really, really look forward to going. I'm helping out with a youth camp for my church, and I'll be gone for a week.
Yeah.
Kidless.
So, I'll have the kids by myself in the evening times. Grandma and uncle will have the kids during the day.
Right.
So.
But I won't have any kids. That's the point.
No. But I can handle it. Done it before.
I'll go to camp really excited, and then by the end, I'll be like, oh, I miss my children. And then I'll have that renewed, like, I can do this.
Yes, it's going to be fill up your canteen of mothering power.
Yeah, I could use that right now.
That's right. So I'll just talk about today. Today we had...
Wow, you're starting first.
A pretty fantastic day.
It was magical.
So I got home from work. And we decided...
Early.
Yes.
I had to spit that out.
And we decided to pack up the kids and go... We had some old, moldy, gross bread. And
so, it was not that bad.
Okay, it wasn't moldy, but it was old. And so we took that and to go feed the ducks at our local park that has a pond and ducks in it. And Crystal was smart and packed some water and some popsicles and... And so after feeding the ducks, we walked around the pond having popsicles and looking at the fish and the ducks and the turtles.
But our kids are at that age where it's still, like, it's fantastic.
It's still magical. Animals are still awesome, yeah. Even at a little pond. And after that, we played on the playground, and we actually...
Passed off something on our bucket list.
Yeah, our bucket list was, you know, we played games.
I don't think we've mentioned the bucket list, have we?
We have.
Oh, okay.
We played games on the playground, you know, tag.
Lava monster tag.
And had a good time. And then...
Oh, yeah. Our kids chased jackrabbits.
Yeah, they chased some jackrabbits because they're all over the park. And then on the way home, we've mentioned this place before on the show... But we passed by the prairie dog village that's in our town, and we quickly turned around and drove through it, and our kids were just like, oh, the new prairie dog!
It was so funny. Aww.
And so...
And there's, like, hundreds.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
And everyone they saw still got that reaction.
It's a village, so...
It was funny.
And, you know, and burrowing owls are also a part of the village, and so, you know, that took, like, what, another 10 minutes, and then we came home, and it was a It was a great time.
And then we got grumpy again.
And then it was bedtime.
No, it was laundry folding time.
Oh, yeah. That, too.
That was special.
So, but at least we have our kids fold the laundry, even though they take forever to do
it. That's true.
So, power.
But it also was, well, what's funny is before we went to the park, our kids were driving us crazy. They were all whiny and tired and bored because I did a no-tech day. No playing games. We've got to do chores to leave on our vacation. And anyway, so they're all grumpy and to the point where I was like, I don't even want to go to the park. But then when we were driving home, we're like, this is what parenting, this is what we signed up for.
It was a parenting win.
Everyone was happy. It was
magical.
How do you explain it?
It was magical.
Magical.
It was a magical parenting moment. Family moment.
It erased the last 2 days.
That's right. So... Well, tell us about some of your stories.
Well, let's see. For starters, I have a pee story.
Yeah!
I haven't told one for a while, but...
Well, we did talk about Jack pooping on the potty.
Oh, but that's not a pee story.
Okay.
So, we were at the park yesterday at the splash pad for a couple hours, and you know swim diapers don't really hold pee. It's just to make people feel better.
It's a placebo, people.
It really is. Anyway, so we're eating lunch, and Jackson just stands up and spreads his legs and starts peeing on the concrete where everyone's eating their lunch, the free summer lunch.
Nice.
And I was like, oh, man. And so I tried to play it off like he was just dripping, but it was pee. Anyway, so we go over to the grass, and I lay out a towel to change him because I don't want to walk all the way over to the bathroom. So, you know, at this point, once you pee in those, they're, like, full of pee.
Yeah.
And so I peel off the sides of his diaper, and I start, like, yanking it out from under him, but it kind of caught under his bum a little bit.
Oh, no. What
happened? And so I gave it a little tug, and the back of it flipped up and splashed me in the face, like, bad. It got in my mouth and in my eyes and, like, all over my face, like... It looked like someone shot me in the face with a squirt gun.
You never tug on a pee or poopy diaper.
I know.
You don't tug on diapers. What kind of mother are you?
It was so gross.
Man.
I just pretended it was water from the splash pad.
It's not like we haven't had three kids before this one.
I know.
One.
It really was like slow motion. It was just the gentlest tug. It for some like, reason, it was like...
It was like a... That's like a beginner mom.
I know. It really is. Beginner moms don't splash pee on themselves. But anyway, so I went, it hit me and I went, oh! And I froze and I was like, there are so many people around here. And I just turned with like my pee face and no one saw. So I went back to my friends and I was like, nobody knows that I just ate pee.
Oh, someone saw. They're just not saying anything.
It was so gross.
It's kind of like when you trip and fall on accident and you get up like nothing happened, but everyone saw you do
No one saw, but it was awful.
I'm sorry.
It's one of those memories I can't unsee, undo, unfeel, unpee.
I can't unpee this.
I can't unpee that. So anyway, that was my fun time.
All right.
At the splash pad.
Awesome. Anything else?
And my friends didn't even know that happened, so if they're listening.
They know now.
Now you know. I'm the pee face mom.
Pee face mom.
Hashtag pee face mom.
Hashtag.
I'm no longer cool mom on pee face.
We have a hashtag in every one of our show notes lately. And hashtag pee face mom. Got it.
Okay. I have a couple more stories, but the other one was, I don't remember what we're doing, but for some reason, all the kids were in our room, probably watching something on our computer, like either YouTube or, you know, Nickelodeon. And I go into the bathroom, and it looks like there's this big turd on the toilet seat.
On the seat?
The lid. The lid's closed.
Okay.
And there's, like, this wad of brown, well, it looked like poo. So I get closer, and I'm like, what is that? And I thought for sure, like, our baby, you know, pooped on our toilet seat. Anyway, I get closer, and it is a giant pile of dirt and snails. Like, snail shells.
Oh, nice.
Turns out Jackson had been carrying around and just thought, I'll go in my mom's bathroom and plop it on the toilet.
This seems like a good place to go.
Yeah, and so I'm like, get in here right now! And he and Lacey go into the bathroom, And by this point, because some of those snail shells are empty, but these ones all had snails in them. So they're all starting to crawl around our toilet seat. And I mean, there were a bunch of them. And so Jackson, I say, Jackson, clean this up. Pick these up. And he just looks at me, and his idea of cleaning it was,
and just whack it off.
Whacks them off the toilet seat and sends snails flying all over my bathroom.
Awesome.
So I
did not know that.
May or may not have freaked out a little bit. I like snails, but
not
in my bathroom.
Not my bathroom.
Yeah, and so I was like, pick these up right now! And so I had all the kids come in. And I was like, find the snails! And so I guess that was our bathroom adventure.
Yeah. Awesome. Snails.
I know, short story, but it's something that doesn't happen every day.
It's true. It's true.
What else you got for us?
See, that's the problem. You shouldn't have started with your one story.
I'm sorry. Well, I'm still commenting on your stories.
Are you?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Kay. P-Face.
P-Face. Hashtag P-Face.
Hashtag P-Face Mom.
So, we are registered for the summer reading program at the library.
Oh, yes.
And for the top 100 kids that finish the whole program, not the top, but the first 100, they get invited to an exclusive pool party.
Yeah, pool party.
And Jay, when she heard that, she was like, all right, I'm going to do it. And she read for all you have to read is 4 hours.
And she did that in 2 days.
Yeah, in 2 days she passed off the 4-hour reading. And then you have to do things like go to their special events. You have to check out some books about this theme and that theme and read all this stuff. And this Tuesday, so next Tuesday is the very last story time. And I was so worried. And I was so worried that Jay was not going to get her pool party. So Monday night, right before the library closes, I'm like, let's all go to the library. We need to get these books and read them all tonight. So we zip over to the library. We find all the themes we need, like sports theme, nonfiction, and get these books. Check them out. The kids, we let them stay up to read the books. And in the morning, I'm like, come on, finish everything. You have to, because they had to draw pictures of their favorite book. And I'm just like stressing out about this pool party because I knew Jade worked so hard for it. And I don't want her to be the only one. Like,
yeah.
If she's going to get it, my other kids need to get it.
Right.
So we're all working on it. And then it's time to go to the library. And I am like, get in the car because I want to get in there and show them that we finished. And the kids are just taking their time, and it was like, I turned into a mom monster. What are we, momster?
You're hulking out.
I was hulking. It was pretty bad. I'm ashamed of how stressed I got about going to the library. And then we get to the library, and we can't even show her the folder until the program is over. And we get up there, I'm like, hurry, go show her that you passed everything off. And they end up being the second and third kid on the list.
Yep. Awesome.
I was like, what? All that stress for that?
I didn't need to stress over this.
It would have been worth it if they were like...
And then you found out you still had a week.
Well, I knew there was a week.
To turn in things.
But I thought that's that's all when all the stragglers will sign up.
Gotcha.
So I felt like our kids were going to be 99 and 100. And I was prepared for that, but I was so ticked when I was like, second and third?
No, you should think of it like, yeah, our kids are second and third. Take that, you 97 other children.
If there even will be. What if it's the three of them at the pool?
Then they will have an awesome time. Be like, I'm cool, pool party.
I think it was just the guilt and the stress. Although that story time I told you was awful. Because I don't, like you said, I don't know why I go places. Because our 2-year-old.
I don't know why you go places either.
At home, he's like happy-go-lucky kid. But then when we go somewhere, it's like Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah.
Baby style.
Like, I would never go anywhere. I don't know why you do.
I know. We got to the story because I wanted to earn a pool party.
We got sprinklers in the backyard.
For real. That's next summer. But, yeah, because we get to story time, and it was just this huge thing, getting them in the door was crazy, because we're at the playground, and they have a little playground right outside the community room, and I sent the kids ahead, go play at the playground, I'm going to put on Jackson's shoes, so we get over to the playground later, and then Lacey, I had given her her reading folder before we got there, and I was like, where's your folder? I couldn't see it on the playground. She's like, I don't know. And then she takes her shoes off, which I hate because it's all barky, and we didn't have, we had like 5 minutes before it started. You're bugging me out here.
I'm writing my notes.
See, you're not listening to me.
I am.
Anyway, so then the doors open to the community room, and all the kids just go spilling in, and Jackson takes off running. I mean, we live in a small town. It's not like he's running down Broadway Street, you know, but still, I'm like, Grayson, go get your brother! And I'm screaming over all the moms and the kids. And Lacey, I'm like, get off the jungle gym and come put your shoes on. And it was like I was telling her to come eat broccoli. She was like, no! And anyway, we just stood there forever. And I was like, put your shoes on! Put them on, woman! Because my two-year-old's off in the building.
And yet, you know what you're going to do next week?
I'm going to go to story
time. You're going to go to story time. And you know what's going to happen? In the evening time, you're going to be like, that was such a bad experience. I don't think you've ever told me you had an enjoyable time at story time.
I know.
Jackson's since we've special. Lived here.
Well, I know. The things we do for love.
Shippers, whatever.
But anyway, so then I run over to the car, and Lacey, it's like I gave her her folder, and she set it down and got out of the car. So I grab her folder, we go in, and we sit down, and the kids don't want to sit alone, so I'm the only mom sitting with the kids on the floor, which I guess gives me brownie points. But,
that's right.
But Jackson, as soon, story time hadn't even started, and he turns to me, and he's like, I want a snack, which is a snack. And then I said, wait till story time starts, because technically we're not supposed to have food in there. I justify fruit snacks. Yeah. That is not a messy food.
That's right.
And it's not loud. Right?
Right, right.
It's not a food. It's like a
substance.
Sure. Sure. A time-filling substance that shuts the kids up. So, anyway, it just went downhill from there.
I know. You sent me a picture.
What a snack! And then I said, no, we can't have a snack. And then he whines for a minute, like flailing on my arms. And I'm sitting there covering his mouth. And then he finally stops and looks at me and he goes, granola bar? I was like, I didn't pack granola bars. And then he just cried and cried and cried and cried.
Awesome. I look forward to next week's crying story.
Maybe next week he'll finally, after 5 sessions, grasp what it means to do story time. So
nope.
I'm reading.
Nope. It's going to be awful.
I know.
Just prep for the worst.
I do. No. This time I'm packing fruit snacks.
That's right.
And I'm giving them to him as soon as he asks.
That's right. And
because like you've said before, I'm broken.
That's right.
I don't even try anymore.
He beat us. We're done. But yeah, so that's it for our stories. Nice and short because...
You're welcome. All my complaining.
It's middle of the week when we usually record on Sundays. But we did have a listener ask a question, and the question related to dealing with difficult or troublesome or annoying or just bad...
Insert adverb here.
Yeah, insert adverb here. Children, neighbor children.
Might be adjective. I can't remember. One of those ad words.
It's an adjective, because adverb would be like...
Swimming.
Like.
No, that's a verb. Isn't an adverb a descriptive
fast.
Word?
It'd be fast. An adverb would be fast, right? Because you're describing an action. Because a verb is an action, but fast is describing.
So I don't know.
We don't. I learned to go to school.
My excuse is that I sit at home with 4 kids all day. I don't need to know adverbs and adjectives.
Today's grammar lesson brought to you by the clown car.
What were we talking about?
Troublesome kids.
Oh, right.
So we found an article that it actually took us a while to find something.
Yeah, apparently people don't deal with annoying kids.
We didn't just want to give our opinions, even though we have them on the subject. We wanted to at least, reference some credible person and then insert our adverbs here.
Or adjectives.
Our adjectives here.
I need to look that up.
So on alphamom.com,
Totally legit website.
Yeah, totally. Well, an author of a parenting book wrote this article, responded to this question. So the article is Neighborhood Kids, Neighborhood Boundaries. And yes, so we're going to summarize what the question from lady was. Essentially, this lady, she has four kids, and when she goes out to play, she lives like in a little cul-de-sac or subdivision, and when she and her kids go out to play, the neighbor kid always comes out and plays, and he's a little four-year-old kid. Always, she says, every single time we go outside, he comes outside. But not only he comes outside, but his mother comes outside too and comes over and just talks to me, but doesn't pay attention to what her son is doing. And her son, goes into their garage and messes with their stuff and, you know, knocks.
Breaks their toys.
Breaks things and.
And fights with the kids. And
she just doesn't know how to, handle it. And so. She says, is there any way to make it known that the son is not welcome to go into our garage or play with our stuff without asking first? Or is that what I signed up for by moving into a subdivision? The answer is, first of all, no to that.
Well, she said it's so bad that they're thinking about moving.
It's so bad they're like, they contemplated actually moving away because of this awful child and the oblivious, I guess, mom of this child.
Right.
So,
didn't this make you feel really lucky that we have an awesome neighborhood?
We do have an awesome neighborhood.
All the kids in our neighborhood are great.
They're pretty good.
And their moms and dads are really awesome.
Yeah, they're involved. So, the author replies to the question, and there were some things that we really liked, talking about it. And, one of the first things that the author said that we think is key for every parent, especially a parent dealing with an annoying neighbor, is this.
There is nothing wrong or out of line with giving this child the boundaries his mother or father isn't while he's at your house on your property. You are allowed to enforce your own rules. You are allowed to tell Bobby that he's not allowed in your garage anymore and speak up when he breaks something. And heck, ask the mother if she can replace the broken items. You moved into a subdivision, not a commune.
So I totally agree with this because if children are in my home, as long as it's not like hurting the child, you know, you abide by my rules. This is my home, my rules. My rule says, no, you can't go into my garage, and no, stop touching my stuff. And, you know, they have to abide by those rules. And if they choose not to abide by the rules, then there should be consequences. No, I'm not saying that you should, like, physically manhandle the child, but you can take that child back home and be like, your child's not welcome. Or
says the tough man.
Okay, well, mom.
I am a non-confrontational human being.
Well, how would you handle this then?
I
would complain to me in the evening until I did something about it.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't. Whatever. Like, you've ever been in that situation. No, you would just sit there and listen to me complain. And then it would happen all over again.
But we don't have this problem, so.
So that's my solution.
No, but I. And a lot of it comes down to communication, too.
Which is the problem.
But you need to communicate with whether the parent is there or not. You need to communicate to that person's parent that this is what's happening. And for example, if the child was breaking something or destroying something or stealing something, the article actually talks about how the author had a child stealing from them. And it's just like, if you have those things happening, then you need to inform the parent about it. Like, if you, like, your child broke this, or your child took this and I want it back, or something like that. And if the parent, unfortunately, you might have a horrible parent neighbor too. And if they choose not to help you rectify the situation, then it might come to the point where you're just like, this child is no longer allowed over at our home. Which is really hard to say, because I understand that, you know, it's hard to enforce those things, especially during, like, the summer, when the kids are all outside playing and everyone, it's a community thing. So you can't really, like, separate your child at that point. But at least you can keep them from not coming in your home. Like, if they're outside playing with your kids, that's cool, but they can't really damage your stuff on the inside or take your stuff or anything like that. Be like, okay, it's time to go in, and sorry, Bobby, you need to, you know, we're going in now, so you need to go into your home now, type of thing.
Yeah, I do like the idea of enforcing the rules with the child. It would take something really big to get me to talk to the parents. I mean, I've had kids over that have broken our toys, broken our bookshelves, and broken doors and everything, and I don't think I've ever said anything to the parents. Because to me, it's like, wow, they were playing really rough. That stinks.
But it wasn't our kid that broke the stuff.
I'm not helping.
It was their kid that broke the stuff.
If
our child broke something of theirs, I would, if they asked me to replace it, I would.
I would, but I would never, my thing is I don't want that parent to feel bad. Well, it was an accident, usually, or they're just being kids. I don't know.
Okay, I can understand if it's an accident, but if it's a reoccurring thing, like the article is suggesting, or you know, like, if it's a reoccurring thing where this child is coming over every day and causing trouble in your home every day, then action needs to be taken at court. If you're just babysitting someone's kid randomly one night out of the month, and they happen to break something, that's an accident. That's not necessarily them being malicious. But if kids coming over and actually causing trouble every single day, that's a troubled child that needs a little bit of structure. And in your home, you are allowed to have that structure for that child. Be like, we don't do this in our home. And if you cannot, respect those rules in our home, then you are not allowed to come into our home.
Right. I think I'm pretty good at that part. So just not the... Well, even like when I watch people's kids and say their baby was crying the entire time, and I feel like I just want to, you know, I'm just sitting there saying, please come back and get your kid. If they say, how were they? I'm not going to be like, your kid stunk and I'd never want to watch him again. I'll just say like, well, he cried a little bit.
Well,
that's how I deal with problems.
I know, but...
I'm not going to be like, you have the worst baby in the world.
See, but that's a different situation, too.
I'm just saying.
A crying baby is different than a child, an older child, breaking or stealing things.
I know. Well, the point I'm making is it is not easy to talk to other people about their own kids.
I know, because people get really defensive. I understand. I can be pretty defensive when... if someone said something about my kids, but if my child was breaking or stole something, I would want a parent to tell me, because I would fix the problem. And I generally believe that everybody is a good person. So generally. And so if you approach their parents and say, you know, and be civil about it. And if you need to go as a couple, and, like, you could even set up an appointment or something like that. Be like...
Now you're just being crazy.
Be like, my husband and I would like to come over and talk to you about the experiences we've been having, you know, with our children's interaction. Always say our children. Like it'd be best not to put them on guard right away. So, like, you don't go over, like, we need to talk about your kid. You know, because right away it's like, whoa, okay. You know, you just, like... I would really like the opportunity to talk about our kids playing with your kid and the interactions that they're having lately and some of the issues I have with it, or some of the problems.
Yeah, I love how you make it sound so easy.
What?
But the point is that your children's and your stuff should trump hurting a neighbor's feelings.
Yes. And you know, sometimes there's more to the situation, and we understand that.
And you are saying approach them with civility.
Yes, approach
which
them.
Hopefully, will help.
Approach them civil first, but if they are not civil, be like, boom, just be cut them off. Be like, okay, well, if that's how it's going to be. Your child's not allowed in my home or my property anymore. I want to, because you need to take care of you yourself and your own. Like, you need to take care of your kids, your property, and your sanity before worrying about someone else's kid.
Right.
So, can we take care of other people's kids and look after them? Absolutely. That's what a community is all about. But if it comes in, if it starts replacing or getting in the way of the well-being of yourself or your property or your children, then you need to worry about that first. So.
Yep. But still, easier said than done. But, so, I guess try with dealing with the kid first.
Yeah.
And then...
So make sure the child understands your rules and your boundaries within your home.
Right.
If they don't respect that, then take it to the next level and civilly talk to the parents and let them know of your rules and boundaries within your home.
She also suggests, which we heard in a bunch of different articles, though, that if the problem is, like, a power struggle or fighting over toys and stuff, then let them deal with it on their own.
Yeah, because sometimes it's healthy for kids to disagree, because then they learn how to work things out.
Right.
So disagreeing every once in a while and not arguing about what game to play next is not a bad thing. And once again, it's the reoccurring bad behavior that is the issue, whereas someone that's just complaining about the game or something. So we're not saying kick the kid out if they disagree what game is being played and they want to play something else. That's normal. That's just being a kid.
I like how in the article they say, I know, the last thing you want is to end up parenting someone else's child every time you go outside.
Yes.
Or in this defense, inside too, in your house. But hopefully one of two things will happen. Number one, the child instinctively responds and improves their behavior since he clearly needs someone to give him some structure and boundaries. Or two, he and or his mom will get annoyed and stop coming out every freaking time. Or he'll go to school and finally learn how to socialize a little better.
But that's interesting, because of the 4-year-old, but we know that it's not always that case. Sometimes it's older kids. Heck, sometimes it might be a teenager,
right,
or something like that. A bad influenced teenager or a 10-year-old that just doesn't have any boundaries themselves. And so maybe growing up and it doesn't always work, but yeah, so. Mm-hmm.
So there you have it.
There you have it. There's our
wishy-washy answer.
Yes. No, it comes down to setting your rules and your boundaries and communicating that with both child and parent. And if those rules and boundaries are not respected, then you need to lay down the law and say, you're not welcome in our home anymore.
Right.
That's it.
Good luck.
It's not your job to fix the other child, but to protect your own.
Okay.
Boom. All right.
That's it.
Yep, that's it. Thank you for listening to The Clown Car. Parenting is hard, and we believe you should get a gold star just for trying.
Just remember, our way is not the only way. Find what works for you. You are doing a good job.
You can follow us and share your thoughts on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and email us any questions or thoughts at theclowncarshow@gmail.com. And make sure you subscribe,
rate, review
our show on iTunes. And until next time,
enjoy your circus.
You've been listening to a Closet Geek Studios production. For all information about Closet Geek Studios, visit theclosetgeek.net for all your geeky needs, or follow us on Twitter and Facebook.